Gun day brunch. Some of that probably got in the recording. What's up, guys? I'm Caleb Giddings.
And I am Keith.
I might be Jack.
And you guys are in different spots than you normally are. For the last, I don't know, 50 gajillion recordings, the way it's looked relative to me is Keith has been next to me and Jack has been
I
down.
just
And
noticed that.
now Keith is down and Jack is up. And I don't know what's happening, but I'm afraid. I don't like change. It's not good. Speaking
Oh,
of
white
not,
guy in his mid-30s to 40s doesn't like change.
bro, there is all right.
Woo!
Before I dive on this, one of the funniest episodes of Thomas the Tank Engine is when they introduce a bunch of new characters and they like literally do a whole episode about how Gordon, who is essentially an old British white man, doesn't like change. And
Not a fan.
I'm like shocked. Shocked. A British man in his 60s doesn't like change? Shocked, I say. But anyway, today's
My favorite
episode is.
episode is when they have one train that's such a jerk, they throw him in a tunnel and brick it off,
Oh my God, yeah.
which is like, haha, if they were really just trains, but knowing that they're sentient, that's awful.
Some of the earlier episodes of, and if you're a parent and you've seen a lot of it, you'll know some of the earlier episodes of Thomas are dark. Like, dark, dark. Like, and Thomas starts off his arc as kind of a dick. But anyway, this episode is not brought to you by Thomas the Tank Engine. This episode is brought to you by Taurus USA and guns.com. At Taurus USA, affordable does not mean cheap. We make great guns at an affordable price. And if you want to buy those guns at an affordable price, you can go to our friends at guns.com who don't just sell guns, they also make great content. And I don't really have a segue from the intro into the actual episode, but today what we're talking about is looking at ourselves as shooters and students and instructors 10 years ago and talking about some of the stuff we've kept from that version of ourselves. And some of the stuff that we have actively gotten rid of. So I'll start with myself as an example to kind of give you guys an idea of what the show's going talking about. One of the things that I have gotten rid of that 10 years ago was what, 2014? Oh yeah, I was definitely still doing this in 2014. The old tactical turtle. I was starting to come out of it in 2014. But that was a phase where, and if you guys aren't familiar, if you have never experienced the Tactical Turtle, it was a hangover effect from the global war on terror, where guys were really burying their heads behind their guns, they were rolling their shoulders super high, and almost in some cases they were locking their elbows. And a lot of people shot like that for a long time, myself included, and it was terrible. It's part of the reason why I have tendonitis in my left arm. And I have, according to my doctor, permanent nerve. Like sometimes I can't feel these two fingers,
Yeah.
which is super awesome. Let me tell you, when you get like a shooting pain down your left arm, are you like, oh, is that my tendonitis or am I having a heart attack? Guess we'll find out.
I have other exacerbated issues from other service-related injuries, but yeah, the old shooting styles certainly did not help. Y'all remember the Groucho? The crunch, put
Oh, God,
all
yeah.
your weight onto your legs. Don't use any bone support whatsoever. All of it onto your legs and the
Duck
base of
walking,
your spine
yeah.
and wearing a plate carrier. And this will make you a smaller target by, 3 or 4 inches that you're crouching and completely destroy any base that you have.
I
Even
had
static.
I get a lot of people who see like pictures of me shooting will often be like, oh, you still use the tactical turtle. Well, I'm like, no, I'm 6'8".
Yeah. The
But
target is
I'm having
lower.
I have to aim lower, which means like the head has to follow, and like I'm not attempting to do this. We just have to line these things up.
Sir, have you considered I am Lorch?
Barrel, sights, eyes, and target all have to meet on the same plane
And
to
the
kind of make
target
it just
for you is usually shooting downhill, you know,
right.
that is what it is.
So man, I'll take one that like 10 years ago, I was a very, very strict form guy. Like you, in my opinion, you had to do everything the same way every time, no matter what. And I have really, really loosened up that. Like, I came from tactical response world where it was like every reload, boom, fresh mag goes in, rack the slide no matter what the condition of the gun was, or on rifles, run the charging handle, and then drive back out and start doing what you're doing. I have come completely off of that. And like, even when I teach people, I've changed like some of my wording. So like, I dislike tap rack bang.
Because, oh, I love tap rack bang though.
Well, so what I realized the problem was like, I didn't like the fact that it immediately implies you have to start shooting.
Fair. No, you know, that's a fair criticism of it, actually.
I do like the change to assess, right?
Yeah, tap rack assess, take a look around. Because we may not need to be some shooters. We may need to be some, like, let's throw these into the river and get out of here.
Harkening back to last week's episode.
Yeah, I really do think it is, like, I've become, like, a lot more, like, go with the flow, kind of, like, if you don't reload that way perfectly, that's not really that big of a deal to me. I now do really use the slide release. I have figured out that I can use my thumb.
No more power stroke.
I
love the power stroke.
But I still reload here. And we were kind of talking about this before the show got started, Caleb. I told you I'd explain it on. The reason why is I've had shoulder injuries from, you know, jujitsu and powerlifting and all this other stuff that just like have worn down on my body, that like doing the reload out here isn't as secure.
Mm-hmm.
So if I bring it in closer to the body, I'm able to like engage certain muscles, control it a little bit better, and make sure that I'm getting a good clean reload instead of not necessarily maybe the fastest reload.
That's something
I've drifted on too, is working on being able to get a clean reload, or a clean, not even just a reload, any manipulation. Get a clean manipulation of what you need to on the gun you're working on versus the absolute fastest. So one that I definitely started doing on things like ARs or longer guns is tucking the heel of the stock into my arm. That's a slower reload, but I can do it moving. I can do it changing positions. I have a lot more control over it, even if it costs me an extra half a second working on it. Because if I'm trying to do it in the static race, you know, body position, that if it works is definitely the fastest, but if it doesn't work, now I'm in fucking Fucksville.
And Keith, like, something that you've like kept, like you did it 10 years ago, you're still doing it today, and you're probably going to still be doing it in another 10 years?
Good question, because I was a whole bucket of fuck in a lot of ways.
Fair. Because
I grew up on the NRA trainer bandwagon. That was my first. A lot of people are first. So yeah, like Weaver stance, and some of the stuff I've kept is still changed because I've simplified it. I used to be very much the over explainer when it came to instruction, because I always felt that like more data, more better. And at the moment, more data, more better was like, yeah, the more I tell you and the more you'll understand. And that's not true. People get very, very much information overload, overwhelm, and everything like that. So what I have to do is deliver simple methods to do the thing consistently. So the one thing I have kept is probably just, you know, the casual style of presentation that I do. It's very conversational. I'm not big on written exams or anything like that in a lot of teaching methods, even if they're programs that come with that type of material. Because this is very much an experienced discipline. I liken it to, you know, training for a sport, a martial art, or training at the gym. There's a lot of repetition involved, and the good reps make you better, and wrong reps get in your way. So, you know, I don't need to put that on a piece of paper that you take. So I've kept that casual style of things. A lot of the things I have changed was going from that over explanation of, this is exactly how a magazine works. You see, there's a base plate that supports a spring, and there's a piece down here, and there's a follower at the top of that, and that goes all the way up, and that will engage your slide lock. So I all that. It's like, this is the magazine. This feeds the rounds into your gun. That's what you need to know about it at this level. If you want to go down the autistic rabbit hole, by all means, have fun with that.
I think we've all been down.
You can go down the rabbit hole on every single part, on every single one of these guns, and have a grand old time. And we can spend all day on every one of these individual things and how they, the variations and how they want to be. That's not what I need out of a practical shooting course, helping develop people's handling skills. I need good reps that are going to allow them to solve the problems on their gun and more efficiently hit faster, further, you know, higher, further, faster, baby.
I think the most, for me, the most obvious thing that I've kept that I was doing 10 years ago that I'm still doing today is the weird way I grip a revolver. Like I was doing my revolver thumbs forward grip back in 2012. There's pictures of me doing it with a GP100, and I'm still doing it today with almost everything. What I haven't kept from that same time period is any sort of desire to argue with people about it ever again, other than to say, hey, this is a perfectly safe way to hold the gun so long as you, you know, pay attention to, you know, these factors. Because the thing that I've really tried to leave in the past and leave with the old versions of me is arguing with people about stuff that doesn't matter. Like, you don't want to hold your gun the same way as me, bro? Great. Fantastic. Catscon duos, you know, just have a great time. Do whatever it is that you want to do. You don't want to use this particular shooting stance? Great. I don't care. I genuinely don't care. The only time that I care about whether or not people want to do the thing that I'm telling them to do is one, when they're paying me, because I feel like if you come to my class and you pay me money and you don't at least try it my way, what did you pay me for? Like,
why are you here?
And yeah, then also, I will say, I only care for a little bit. And this isn't, you know, this isn't a negative thing. But if you come to my class, you paid me money, and I say, hey, well, why don't you try it this way? And you say, no, I'm going to keep doing it this way. I'm going to try again. But also then after a while, I'll just engage with students who want to, you know, learn the material and not you. But the
there's a performance aspect that, you know, you go and you look, all right, well, they're not doing it the preferred way. They might be losing some efficiency, but is it working? Are they in their own way about it in a way I can point out to them and be like, look. And if it's not, I'm not going to spend a lot of my time and effort on it because we've got all this other stuff we can do and make.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the thing that, you know, I don't get to teach Air Force classes as much anymore since I got promoted, which they didn't tell me that when you get promoted, you stop getting to do the fun thing. Sons of bitches. But, you know,
now you get to do the wonderful paperwork stuff.
Yeah. So, but in those classes, I really got to a point where, like, the only time I would really care if somebody didn't listen to me is if they had a serious deficiency in the class and they were like in danger of not passing or something like that. And I was like, hey, if you do things my way, it will correct your deficiency. And then they're like, but I'd rather not. I'm like, enjoy failing. I'll see you next month. You know? So that was kind of the area where I would get, and I still do get frustrated with that because I'm like, you know, you're just making your life more difficult. I wouldn't go to med group and expect to be able to throw an IV into somebody without being trained. And if the person who's telling me is like, hey, no, do it like this, I'm like, oh yeah, well, you do IVs for a living. Maybe I should fucking listen to you. But that's, yeah. So like a thing I've kept from the past is definitely the way I hold the gun. 100%. The way I hold a revolver has not really changed in 10 years. My desire to argue with people about it has changed a lot. My desire to argue with people in general has basically gone down to zero. Well, that's not true. Every now and then I'll get like a burr in my saddle and I'll be like, I'm gonna go pick a fight on the fucking internet.
Oh, so there are certain, and sometimes it's something you've seen a dozen times, right? You've seen a dozen times and you let it pass, but it's that 13th time and you're like, no,
we're fighting.
I'll get somewhere I'm just like, how are you still alive? How are you? Like, there was a guy, there was a picture of a person who was doing a magazine hold on an FAL. He had his thumb up. The guy's like, he's going to regret that. And I'm like, no, he's not. That charging handle doesn't reciprocate.
Doesn't go anywhere.
And he's like, I was in the military. I think I know what I'm talking about. And I'm just like,
probably not.
Backwards VCOG shooting mother. I will say,
here we go.
God,
I will say, if there's something that like I've thrown away from the from 10 years ago that like I was a hard, ardent supporter of, and now 10 years later, I'm like, I don't know who that is. Don't talk to me about that. Those posts, I don't want to discuss that right now. Prank call. Optic setup.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
I was a hard co-witness, absolute co-witness, run irons front, fold down in the back, hard co-witness, LPVOs, what are we, snipers? Lame, get those out of here. LPV, you know, like iron sights don't fail. You can ghost ring your aim point. And now I'm just sort of like, I would like this dot as high as possible. And
again, because you are large.
Just the ability medically to no longer be burying my head into the optic and just naturally be resting up here at a 193 or a 228 is just like, oh, this is so much more comfortable.
The everything. Only gun now, I've shifted to, I've shifted with Jack. The only gun, because I was, you know, nose to charging handle, Barry eye behind ACOG Marine. Everything had to be 39 millimeter right above the rail. That is the height. That is as God and Stoner intended it. You know, get on with yourself. Now, the only gun I want a low mounted optic on is a precision rifle that I've got a fit, like, position behind that,
you know,
everything for me. That's it. Everything else, hi baby, give me that neck comfort, that's fine.
You know, it's funny because I was thinking about that, and like my PCCs for the most part are set up with ACOGs that largely have, you know, I'm not like crunched down into it, I'm not like fully head up, but I'm in a kind of a nice comfortable position. And then I was just out the other day zeroing in the Taurus Expedition in 308. And I was like, oh yeah, this is why I like cheek weld for some things. Because I had one where I was in kind of a weird position and I think I was prone and my head kind of came up off the gun and it recoiled. And I was like, right, a cheek weld would have felt better in there than letting that come back into me like that. It's funny when you shoot nothing but like 5.56 and 9mm, you kind of forget that like a bolt action 308 is, it's not like it's a punishing amount of recoil or anything like that, but then you're this gun moves in recoil versus, you know, a 5.56, even a 5.56 bolt gun doesn't really do much in recoil.
It reminds you it's there, but that's about the end of the extent.
10 years ago, where was your stock at?
Oh man, it was fully collapsed.
Yeah, nope. I was
full extension, fixed. M60A2, baby.
I was stock all the way in.
Yep.
Like stock all the way in, big foregrip with a broom handle, just like.
Oh, you know what? That's something that I have not left in the past is the vertical foregrip, because on all of my work guns, so my Air Force guns, I accept that this is a rifle that is going to spend the vast majority of time hanging around my chest in a sling and not being shot. And that VFG is such a handy extra point of contact to move it when I have to bend down to pick up my Skittles that I drop, or to pick it back up to put it in the rack because I sit behind a desk these days. And it's just, I haven't left the VFG in the past. And I don't think I ever will, because I don't use it when I shoot. Like if I bring the gun up to my shoulder, I kind of use it as a base, right? Like I use it as like, I'll end up with my hand, you know, with my thumb kind of pointed forward along the rail and the rest of my hand in the base of the VFG. But I won't use it, you know, broom handle style, like you see John Krasinski do in the friggin'
13 hours.
Because he full on broom handles that gun, which is contextually appropriate for the time.
My M4 has that very broom handle on it, and it's going to stay on my M4. On anything that's got a really short handguard on it, I usually run one. It's more comfortable for my hand. I know the detriments. I know it gets in people's way in barricade work and other systems. I deal with it. The other thing I really still like them for, is if you're shooting suppressed and that gun gets super extra fucking hot, you can just go, you can broom handle it and be like, all right, I can still get this more forward control point here while I'm not cooking my hand.
Yeah, that's weirdly, hot. I do a lot of sustained fully automatic fire with M4s in my other job, and like an unusual amount. And I have discovered that broom handle is kind of nice for that, because those handguards are thin and they heat up right quick. And I'm like, they ooh, spicy.
And those Knights handguards, I'll tell you, those Knights handguards with those heat shields in it are still some of the best at not getting smoking
hot. Yeah, hand, and 100%.
They will still get hot. They will get toasty.
I love vertical foregrips. I run them on my SBR.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that I'll probably keep doing that if for no other reason. If you've ever had to do an injured hand shooting drill, like having your offhand represented as like it had been shot, which is, I hate to tell you, super high likelihood.
Fun fact, guys, you tend to shoot at what you're looking at, and right. That tends to be the gun in the other guy's hand, and they looking at the gun in your hand.
So what you can do is you can take your wrist and lock it around the front of the foregrip and put that backwards pressure on. It's not as good as like thumb overboard, a bunch of other stuff, but it still allows you some control of a rifle. Mm-hmm. In that distance.
Hey, here's a question. What was your carry position and what was your holster made out of 10 years ago?
Oh, wow.
I'll go first, because my carry position 10 years ago was traditional IWB behind the hip in a Kydex holster, which I found was not the best way to go. And then I went to AIW, and now, like, if you ask me what my carry position is, I'll be like, that honestly just depends on what I'm wearing, what I'm carrying, and all of that. Because I'll do everything from a Filster Kydex holster to, you know, you guys know if you follow me on socials that I love my leather OWB Combat Masters. And so those are going to, you know, but stuff like that. So, like, yeah, but 10 years ago, I was very much 3 o'clock behind the hip in a Kydex holster. And that was, like, the way that I carried a gun.
So 10 years ago was 2014. That was my last year of actively working in security fields. On off duty, I carried a Glock 17 with a G19 grip chop in a Galco IWB leather. And on the job, I carried that same Glock, but with a X300 Ultra. In a Filster Kydex inside the waistband holster, and a Glock 26 in a Culberson Leatherworks leather AIWB.
Hell yeah. Two gun life.
I know that sounds crazy and like over the top. It allowed me to have a gun in AIWB that was very fast. And also allowed me to have a gun with a weapon mounted light, which I had to use, like, flat out, I would go, if I went back to that kind of work, I would still probably be carrying that kind of way. It would be a G48 in the appendix position, but yeah, I'd probably still carry that way.
I, to great shame, and I'm gonna throw myself under this bus firmly and aggressively. 10 years ago, if I'm remembering correctly, I was working the gun counter at my local store, and I thought I had made it in life by working retail gun store counter. And I had just discovered the sticky holster, which we carried. And for those of you who do not know what the sticky holster is,
it's a sin, is what it is. The sticky holster is a sin.
Yeah, the sticky holster is a sin. And luckily, I didn't carry with it often, because when I was at the store, I could use a very comfortable form-fitted Kydex OWB holster. So it just sat on my hip at, you know, 3-3-3-30 position comfortably. And when I was, and then I had, I think, Galco IWB holster for most of the time. But that sticky got used for a couple of months until a buddy of mine who I had convinced to purchase it was standing in the store talking to me one day, and I watched as it migrated down this man's pants and ended up on the floor as he awkwardly kicked it out his leg like the turd it is.
The only thing a sticky holster is good for is for preventing access to the trigger on a gun that you have thrown into your range bag. Yeah. That's what it's for, right?
Yeah, it is at best a nylon safety sleeve. It is not a holster.
No, not even close.
Not a holster. It's actually pretty good padding if you're going to stack a bunch of guns in there, because they'll be padded against each other and not knock around. So I guess it's useful for that, but it's certainly not worth the price tag that was on it for that. Like, it'd be good for $5. Here's a pack of 10 of them. Put guns in them.
I'll make one last point, and then we'll go around and get something from you guys. But I think when I really think about it, the thing that I have tried the hardest to leave into the past, and the thing that I have tried the hardest to continue to keep with me for the last 10 years are the opposite sides of the same coin, in that I have tried to leave being dogmatic in the past and being, addicted to there is a way of doing things. And, 10, 12 years ago, I was taking a lot of classes. And so I had an open mind about learning. And I've tried to keep that open mind about learning, and I've really tried to leave dogmatism in the past. And the thing that I want to stress about this for everyone who's listening is that's a forever process. That's not like, I'm not going to wake up tomorrow morning and be like, I've done it. I've defeated my dogmatic tendencies. I'll never do it again. No, that's bullshit. It's an everyday thing, because sometimes there are days where I'm like, no, I'm fucking right. Here are my receipts. You should just do what I'm telling you to do. And then other days I'm like, yeah, let's sort of keep an open mind here. So I think it's a constant struggle, but it's definitely something I can say for a matter of absolute fact that I'm far less dogmatic today than I was 10 years ago. And I am reasonably proud of that. What are you thinking, Joey?
Did we lose sound on you guys?
No, I'm here.
Okay, sorry. 10 years ago, I am more open to new concepts than I was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember being staunchly anti-red dot on handgun for a number of reasons. Now I don't have a handgun without a red dot. I was anti-1911. Now I'm trying to figure out a way that I can get more 1911s in my life. And I would just say, yeah, be open to the idea that you might change a little bit over your time of being a person. There's often like this graphic that's meant to show Dunning-Kruger, but I don't think it shows that well, where it's like the person starts here, they learn a lot, and they come back and they're at the same opinion that they were when they started. I would just say, like, it's just a journey. You're learning things as you go, and that'll change who you are as a person.
You're probably going to end up coming back to some stuff that you liked initially that now you like for new reasons, for better reasons, and for more defined reasons. But you're still with like the same gun or a very similar setup. Like my first carry gun was a Smith & Wesson 910, that limited series version of the 915, double action, single action with a slide mounted decocker and safety. And a magazine disconnect safety. So if you pop the mag out, it no go boom. That was my first handgun, carried it for a while. Then I went and rode the 40 train and the 45 caliber train for a little while, and then went on the 9 journey and everything. Like, I still carry 9 for the most part, but where I'm back at is like, if someone handed me that same old Smith & Wesson 910 again and a good holster for it, I'd be fine with it. Be absolutely fine with it. I could make that gun work. Is it my preference? Is it my choice? No. But you learn that over time you can make a lot of things work if you know the processes for making anything in your hand work, and not dogmatically or stringently picking a favorite. You're only going to run the favorite You can have favorites by all means. We all have favorites, but to the exclusion of leaving it to the exclusion of everything else, leaving that away so that you can just work with what's available. And on top of that, for instructors, work with what your students have, not with what you would prefer them to have or what you would prefer to teach. You got to work with what they've got.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty pretty solid note on which to end this episode, guys. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for liking, sharing, and subscribing. And if you haven't done that, go ahead and do those things. And if you're listening to us on iTunes or Spotify, go ahead and leave us a 5-star rating and a review, because that actually does help boost the content in the old algorithm, which is a word I'm tired of saying, but it is a word that lives with us forever now. But that's it. We will be back next week with an all new episode. So thank you very much.